The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs in Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The wine ran short. Realize that in this day and age, a wedding feast was a communal aspect. Nowadays, people make marriage too private. They only invite family and friends. In the old days, everyone came. Even 70 or 80 years ago in the Catholic Church, all the parishioners would come when a young parishioner was being married. But because of Protestant influences, we become too radically individualized. In Jesus' day, a wedding reception lasted for an entire week. An entire week. And it was the only time that people would be able to celebrate anything because survival was everything. So people actually looked forward to weddings because that was the time when one could stop, take their mind off the survival, and put all that aside and celebrate the reality of marriage for the Jewish understanding, because we know that marriage is the only blessing that did not fall with man's fall. It was a blessing that was retained. Everything else man lost from his fall from grace except the blessing of holy matrimony. And therefore, in this respect then, people looked forward to it. We have no value in our satanic culture for the sacrament of holy matrimony. Protestants don't even consider it a sacrament anymore. And ever since their breakaway from the Catholic Church 500 years ago, they're the ones that legalized divorce, the only Christians to do so, and everything followed suit. The Catholic Church still sees divorce as a grave mortal sin. Nonetheless, Catholics choose to do it in defiance of the will of Christ, who said, "The two become one flesh," continuing what Scripture says in the book of Genesis. And man cannot tear himself apart, yet our culture seems to think that is possible. Think of the juxtaposition between the reality of marriage that was understood by the Jews and then marriage as it's understood today by, unfortunately, most Christians as well as Catholics. I think it's because they have forgotten Jesus Christ. And they've forgotten that he worked his very first miracle at a wedding. And it indicates the reality that before the fall, this blessing from God, this intention of God's, that man and woman live for the reality of one another in the context of the two becoming one flesh, living a life of unity, and then procreating. Jesus said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." He didn't say, "Decide maybe how many children you want and then contracept your way through it." Contraception is a grave mortal sin. And indeed, this is the reality of what we see in a culture that tries to hinder itself because the devil loves to hinder love. If the devil can love, what he loves is causing man to sin, causing man to hate himself and live like an animal, which is unfortunately what we're seeing in modern times. This is why our Lord makes holy matrimony holy. matrimony is from the Latin, mater munus, the duties of motherhood. The whole point of matrimony is about husband and wife coming together and reproducing. The whole goal of matrimony is not simply to get your spouse to heaven, but to populate heaven. For God, in his profound wisdom, had decided that man and woman would be the only way human beings could come into existence. God simply won't create someone out of the dust anymore, as he did Adam. Now he lets man share in that awesome reality of his creative plan. God creates the soul and infuses it at conception, but it is the parents who procreate the body, literally living out the two becoming one flesh by virtue of their children, indicating that the two have become one flesh. For the child shares the genetic traits of both mother and father. And that's what we believe as Catholics in the reality of the sacramental system, outward signs of inward grace instituted by Christ for our sanctification. That reality of marriage and procreation is an outward sign of the inward grace of what God intends. For we are meant to live as God, not as animals, as the world cries out for us to live today, living in pure chaos. This is why our Lord again makes marriage a sacrament, because he knows man has fallen. Christ came to save us, and the first work he does to bring about witness to his saving power, the fact that he will redeem the world, is in the sacrament of holy matrimony. By raising it to a sacrament, as he did in this instance, his first miracle is done in the context of marriage. He himself comes into the world through the reality of marriage, in the sense that Our Lady Mary Most Holy, the Immaculate Conception, she does indeed conceive him as a virgin, and he draws all of his humanity from her, but he still wants them to exist, Mary and Our Lady, in the context of marriage, by virtue of Our Lady marrying Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse. So salvation comes to the world through marriage. Salvation comes to the world through the reality of what Saint Paul defines in our reading from Ephesians. It's the very theology the Catholic Church has for marriage. And of course, because the Catholic Church is from God, the world hates it. And yes, unfortunately, too many Catholics, both bishop and priest and layman, hate themselves. But there are Catholics who know the truth, and the truth has set them free. Love is not an emotion. Indeed, it has emotional qualities, but in its end, love is an act of reason, an act of the will. One chooses to love. One does not only love because one feels like it, as many are wont to do today, but one chooses to love. And those of you who have been married for many, many years know that life can be difficult, that it can be hard to want to sacrifice for the same person over and over again. Yet the reality of grace makes it possible for you to do so, as long as your will is in place. Remember, salvation is the free gift of God, but God gave us free will. And therefore, you can, and many people do, say no to salvation. You can say no because God, in his ineffable goodness, gave us free will. We are not his pets, but we can freely choose him or freely choose condemnation. Think of it. Why would a God who is perfectly just and loving force us to stay in heaven with him when we spend our whole lives away from him, when we never tried to pray, when we never tried to live lives of self-sacrifice and love? It would be an unjust God that would force everyone to go to heaven, as too many foolishly believe. A God who is good, a God who is loving, lets the people go the direction they want. And if they choose hell, he gives it to them. Hell was created for the fallen angels. But there are too many men who want to be like the fallen angels. Revolt against God, revolt against his goodwill, revolt against order, and embrace chaos and sin. In the context of all of this, then, this is what we see in the sacrament of holy matrimony when it was raised to a sacrament, the wedding feast of Cana. We see the water, which is life-giving, water which is necessary for life, demonstrating that marriage is a natural ordered thing only between man and woman. No matter what the society tries to say as it follows Satan's urgings to attack family life by reinventing it and suggesting the impossible is possible. Only one man and one woman can marry, and it is for the duration of their lives. It is like water necessary for life. But note that our Lord changes the water to wine. When you leave your marriage, when you leave your relationships in merely human love, it is indeed watered down. It is indeed insipid in comparison to wine, which is robust and flavorful. You must remember that in Jesus' time, water was often dangerous because of poisons and dirt and the reality of sewage. Hence, they drank more wine than they did water. And wine was life-giving in that respect, but it was so much more than water. Yes, water necessary, but wine is so much more. Human love on its own will always fail, but when it's touched by grace, touched by the divine life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it becomes something more, where man and wife can truly live not for themselves as individuals, but for one another, and do as St. Paul says, ultimately recognizing that their marriage is public because it gives witness to how Christ loves his church. Remember, every revolution, every rebellion has its roots in the devil, who was the first rebel, the first one to say no to God's will. And therefore, he has, from the very beginning, since the dawn of time, since the creation of Adam and Eve, called for revolt. He tempted Eve to no longer be subject to her husband and to rebel. And then Adam, following suit, would no longer be subject to God, but would rebel. And then we see the reality of the collapse of everything. The devil makes everything about power and competition. Too many men and women live their lives in competition, trying to one-up each other, trying to have power over the other. The submission that the church calls for, according to the writings of St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is not about tyranny, but it is about seeking what is best through holy order, about the husband dying to himself to be the head of the family and the wife dying to herself to act as the church, receiving the best from the husband. All husbands are called to imitate Christ on the cross. All wives are called to imitate the church, receiving the sacrifice and indeed the fruits that come from it she shares with children. For it is man who initiates the life process and woman who receives, and then the fruition grows from there. Everything is configured towards the profound reality of perfect community of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so as Joshua and Beverly enter into the adventure of marriage today, especially in a day where it is far more hostile to them, where even their fellow Christians will call them fools when they open themselves up to God's will with regards to having more than 1.2 children, where they'll be called fools for the reality that they're willing to die to themselves and not establish a life of separation, where one and the other are going in separate directions, never uniting, where indeed the world will call them fools for even considering the reality that the needs of their spouse must come before themselves as individuals. The world will call them fools because, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, we should not be surprised if the world hates us, because the world hated him first. The world is run by the prince of this world, as Jesus calls the devil in the Gospel of John, and he is all about the darkness, all about doom, all about discouragement. And therefore, he convinces man that he is merely an animal and that he should only follow his passions and become a slave to sin. But Christ came to free us from slavery to sin. And it comes through the sacrament of holy matrimony. All of our vocations in the church, whether it be the married vocation, me as a priest, or the religious, it all comes from the sacrament of holy matrimony. Salvation came to the world through the sacrament of holy matrimony. It is the most profound of missions with regards to the fact that it gives witness to the world how Christ loves his church, and how husband and wife, dying to their individuality and living the common life together, and love always begets love, therefore always open to children, they begin to see the reality of how the world begins to witness the joy that they live against the background of its own darkness and gloom of selfishness and self-love. They have a mission, but that mission indeed is inspired by Christ and will be fed by Christ. And therefore, the water that they bring, their natural human love, which is necessary for life, will be touched by grace and become more powerful, more robust, more flavorful, and indeed, as Isaiah says, of wine brings joy to the heart. Not in excess, of course, but the reality that now they will have the grace necessary so that they can live out the love they know they have for each other and the love that they will commit to one another from this day forward. When they exchange their vows, we will see the reality of the free will that God gave them and their conviction that it is God who called them to be together. And when they exchange vows, they will pledge themselves to live for the salvation of one another's souls and then live for having and educating children to populate heaven. For indeed, this world is all will become all ash, as St. Peter reminds us, when God destroys it by fire at the end. And all that we work for, all that we believe is necessary, will be seen to be totally unnecessary. But those who have the reality of grace will indeed affect heaven itself by virtue of the children they have and by virtue of the souls that they won over for Christ by the good witness they gave. Again, especially in a darkened world that has embraced the false illusions of the devil. So be mindful of yourselves, if you who are truly and validly married, that anytime you come to one of these ceremonies, it is an opportunity for you to renew your own convictions and to respond to the grace God will give you so that you can live out this call to marriage and inspire the world to live in imitation of Christ and no longer in imitation of the devil and his rebellious revolts. Take the opportunity. Be mindful of yourselves too. If you're not Catholic, do not come forward to receive Holy Communion. Because communion, if you receive communion here and you're not Catholic, you're saying you believe everything the Roman Catholic Church teaches, which means that you are saying you're no longer a Protestant, and you cannot simply say that. You must go through a process to become Catholic. If you haven't been to church in a millennia, do not receive communion if you're Catholic, because the six precepts of the Church must be adhered to, which includes the reality of going to Mass every Sunday, going to confession at least once a year, unless your mortal sin goes sooner. You support the Church, you tithe to the Church, and ultimately live a life that is a reflection of Christ. So do not make a mockery of Holy Communion and come forward and receive it if you know you should not. Meanwhile, if you're not Catholic and you have sensibility about you, today is still your opportunity to pray, not only to respect the reality of what we believe as Catholics in our rituals in particular, but to pray for this couple whom we assume that you're friends with, which is why you're here, and pray that they will be able to give witness to the powerful love of Christ for his Church. In other words, to the reality of grace and the reality of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.